All right, we're going to go ahead and continue with our post-race press conferences here. We have now been joined by our race winner, Denny Hamlin. Denny, congratulations on the win. You were here, obviously, yesterday and made it very clear that this one was on your list, and obviously winning that guitar was something you really wanted to do. Talk a little bit about that final restart and just what it means to finally take home the Nashville victory.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, it was very unexpected. You know, we had a few where we were the best car this year and we didn't win because of restarts. And it felt really good to get one back that we certainly shouldn't have on speed. The 20 had us covered. I think he passed us about three or four times today. And, I learned from my mistakes earlier in the season and you know, how I approach restarts. And, it really kind of started in the first corner. I was able to get, go to the bottom of the 20. I didn't shift the car very well. He cleared but drove in really deep and allowed me to get beside him. And for the next two laps, I kept side drafting, then trying to drive in deep enough to clear him, and I realized he was not going to let me clear him. And so at that point, I knew we were not making optimum lap time in corners. And so I learned from my mistakes, and on the final lap, I said, I'm going to roll the bottom, and if he, he's probably going to drive in really deep, to thinking that I'm going to drive in deep, but I'm going to switch it up on him and get a good run off instead. And it was good enough to clear him.
All right. We're going to go ahead and go to the media for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a microphone to you. We're going to start with Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. What is the mindset going into turn one on the last lap when you're racing two teammates and you're three wide?
Wild. I knew that me and the 20 had an awful 3 and 4 coming to the white. That was my last attempt to drive in deep and clear him, and I realized, he was not going to let me. And so at that point, I just said I'm going to run the fastest last lap that I possibly can and not worry about where he's at or anything. And so we come to the white. We got a terrible runoff. I know that 19 had a run. I don't even know where he was until I saw a replay. I didn't know we were actually three wide bottom. But at that point, I just said, I'm going to roll the bottom, and wherever the 20 goes, he goes. But I think that I can still stay beside him if I just hold it low and not try to drive in deep. And I think that he tried to not let me clear him, and he also tried to clear the 19 and just went too deep there and allowed me to clear.
In that moment, are you even thinking about the potential catastrophic outcome of it could wipe out not just two JGR cars, but we're talking three?
Well, that's why on the last lap I committed to just run the bottom. The two laps before where I tried to clear them, we both were up the racetrack. We were, I think one of the corners, we were stuck on each other the entire corner. I thought that our wheels had locked together. And so at that point, that's why I said on the last lap, I'm just going to run the bottom. I'm not going to wipe us out. I'm not going to try to self-clear myself like I had done in these situations. And that was the best way to finish the last lap.
Your first win since Kyle's passing. You are now one win behind him on the all-time wins list.
Yeah, it's I thought about it and certainly aspired to eventually get there. I knew my career was going to end before his career was going to end. We didn't know what was going to happen, but I had kind of resigned to the fact that I thought we weren't going to overtake Kyle, and we still might not. We don't know if this is the last one. We don't know. It just shows how good he was for so long. And, I saw the stats online where, we ran together 500 and some races and he finished ahead of me 10 more times than I beat him. And so in the same equipment. So he, he certainly taught me a lot. He was by far, it was interesting too. I mean, you see, so many tributes and people have stories that you just didn't know. And then I didn't realize just a few months ago, he had a Q&A, and he asked, who has he learned the most from teammate-wise? And he said me. And I was like, you know, that made me feel good. You know, I didn't realize that he had said that. And, it was an honor to be his teammate for 15 years. And, you know, he raised my game. Without him as teammates, there's no way I win the races that I win, especially ones like today.
John Newby, FanBuzz. Both you and Chris tonight have talked about restarts aren't your strongest suit. I'm curious, you mentioned having to work on that, and as the saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but how exactly have you fixed that part of your game to where you're able to pull that off tonight?
Well, I switched my game mid restart. Like, again, I approached three to go and two to go far different than I approached it with one to go. And so it's almost like, you know, showing someone a defense or a shot fake, and just you keep doing it and you keep doing it, and they then think, well, you're going to do it again. And so on the last lap, I said, no, I'm going to just do something totally different. And that is what allowed me to clear off of turn two. I did not drive into turn one hardly at all, because I knew that he was going to drive in really deep. And the only way I was going to beat him was I needed to keep inside position. I just didn't know that I was going to get such a good run off. And then he got a poor run off because of how deep he was trying to clear me and the 19. And so, I switched it up mid-race, you know, from turn, it really was into turn three coming to the white. I made my last attempt to clear myself. And at that point, I realized he was not going to let me clear. And so I needed at that point just to run the fastest lap time I can on the last lap, and that's what we did.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Denny, first talking about restarts, what went through your mind when they called you for jumping the initial start?
I was trying to figure out why no one else went. That was the first thing. I looked in my mirror, and I was like, I thought it was time to go. But I said nothing on the radio because I just, you know. And when I look back at kind of where I went, it was like, yeah, I mean, I went before the restart zone. So I just, usually as the leader, you can dictate when to go. But it was way too close to turn four and not close enough to the start-finish line. So no arguing it or anything like that. You know, it was certainly the right call.
A lot of really close quarters racing tonight. I know that's kind of how a lot of these races tend to go these days, but how would you describe the intensity of what tonight was?
Well, the restarts were crazy because, again, this racetrack, it is so track position sensitive that, you know, your car just drives dramatically different in the pack than it does. I mean, we set up my car today to be out front. We planned on being out front the whole time, and we just were not good. We didn't make great overnight adjustments, which was my fault. I sent us down a path that was definitely wrong, and so we struggled today. When I say we struggled, we were not the best. You know, we usually have been the standard for speed on these types of tracks, but it's just the 20 passed me again many, many times today. The 19. Passed me, with 50 to go or so. So I just I resigned to the fact that we weren't going to win this thing. But, you know, I just learned from my mistakes. And, you know, I was surprised. Especially with that caution and the shootout at the end, 15 cars on the lead lap, I'm thinking. And you heard me on the radio. I was trying to talk Chris into pitting. And he was like, I think he actually said, my call, we're staying out. And so I love that he is the leader and he makes himself makes the calls that he feels confident in. I didn't feel confident in it. I'd been so mediocre on restarts all year that starting inside third, I'm just thinking finish the race in third. But I got such a good launch with the 20 that allowed me to kind of get position there in the first corner.
And then lastly, you're back within 100 points of Reddick now unofficially. Is there a realistic path to the regular season championship with 12 races left?
Not really. I mean, you know, we'd have to win three, four more races. He's going to have some DNFs and stuff, but not really. My goal is to try to stay P2, and that'll be close enough to with 10 to go.
All right, we're going to go Dustin.
Dustin Lovino, JC Denny. These are obviously split-second decisions, so from the driver's seat, how tough is it to call an audible on the fly when you're battling for the win on the final lap?
Yeah, you just – 21 years in, the game slows down to me. I'm interested to see kind of what my whoop says for my heart rate. I mean, I usually keep it pretty low throughout a race anyway, but I don't – I never felt any adrenaline or anything those last few laps. It was just like a regular old restart. I understood the stakes. I was very excited when I came off turn two side-by-side for the lead after the first corner. But in these situations, you got to just keep a level head. And I think there's many times that I'd failed in these restart scenarios far more times than this one success and this one that, you know, I was able to succeed in. So I've learned from all the mistakes that I'd made and knew why I was not good on restarts to start the year, and I fixed it on the last lap.
All right, Kelly Crandall here in the middle.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Denny, going back to the jump start, is there anything you can pin that on? Did it just happen? You just weren't like not paying attention to where you were, or like what, because you took off by such a mile.
I just don't know why no one else went with me, truthfully. I think there was a little bit of gamesmanship going on. The Denny Bros had a bet with the car chief of the 45 on who finished ahead of who. And so there were mind games going on, even on the grid. And so my goal was to lead this race on lap one. I did it, as it turns out, illegally, but it probably played into my decision of I'm going to get a good jump, and I went too soon.
The broadcast, I believe, threw up a graphic that said that's the first time in your career you've either had a start or a restart violation. Does that sound accurate?
I think so, yeah.
All right, Holly.
Congratulations, Denny. Holly Kame of the NASCAR Wire Service. I wanted to ask you also about the restart. When something like that happens, does that just light a fire, or did you already have confidence that you'd be able to do what you did to come back and win the race?
No, I did not. I knew that we were set up to be out front, and I knew in traffic we were going to have a really, really tough time with the direction that I sent the team overnight. And we struggled. I mean, we struggled. We still were competent. We were, you know, a top five, top 10 speed. I actually had some really good restarts in the middle of the race that let me jump a few. One of the key ones was about 100 laps to go. We came off third of the guys that pitted, took two tires, and I was able to pass the two guys that took two tires in front of me on the restart. That let me control the race. Now, I lost the lead, certainly, in the stage three because we weren't fast enough, but it just kept me within shouting distance of the lead that let me restart third. You know, I think that if I don't control that race, I'll probably fall back even further, and I don't have the restart position on that last green, white, checkered, or four to go, or whatever it was.
All right, go ahead. I believe we had a question in the back. Go ahead.
Jonathan Howard, Athlon Sports. I'm not sure if you saw the Western Conference Finals last night. Wimby had a really great quote about how he uses emotion to help himself achieve success and win, and how he doesn't feel burdened to hide his emotion. How do you use emotion in a productive way? And do you wish that more athletes in NASCAR and other sports weren't as nonchalant about winning and success?
No, I think everyone just needs to stay just like they are. From my standpoint, like I talked about, just in these shootout situations, I'm always processing what it's going to take to win, and I've made so many wrong decisions so many times that you learn from it. And 21 years of experience, you know, helped me today, and the failures that I had helped me for today. Those guys were another animal. It was incredible to see how poised that young team was, and I am just. It's so exciting to see, and certainly you saw him and his emotions, but they, you know, those, that's why they're at the top. That's why they're going to be battling for a championship, is because you have a young team like that that stays poised in game-winning situations. Man, it's just, that's elite athleticism.
All right, Dustin Long.
Dustin Long, USA Sports. You once were the young guy chasing the veterans and learning and gaining that experience. Now you are fending them off. Is it harder to win now than it was then? Why are you still winning?
It's definitely harder now. The cars are closer than they've ever been. Now, no doubt that the Toyotas in general have a little more speed. When I say a little, it's nothing like the gap that it used to be when you could build your own cars and you had a new chassis every 6 weeks. And I mean, you could outpace someone with your car speed. So I don't know, the drivers play more of a factor now. Certainly the process that we have on our 11 car, I think sets us apart from others. And then just, I think it's our ability to keep learning. And this was a great example of it. And I don't know why I still have the speed that I have, but I approach every weekend the same as I always have, but I keep a large notebook every week and I just go through it. And I jot things down that, you know, I think are important that are gonna make me win next time if I failed this time. And so, I don't know, I love the process more than I love winning, truthfully.
So you've talked so much about learning from past experiences and things that didn't go well. So what do you learn from a night like tonight where you have the success? I mean, can you still learn from something like this? And what are you learning on a night like this that might help you, whether it's 3 weeks, 3 months, or next year?
Well, there's multiple things. One is, you know, I talked about the path that I sent the team down that was absolutely wrong. We were talking in Victory Lane about, you know, what I need out of the car right off the bat. There's three things that certainly, you know, we needed to change to be as fast as what the 20 was. But it also, what can be learned is just stay in it. Like, I'm thinking going into that restart, how can I just keep my position here? You know, how can I just not lose and end up finishing eighth like I had done all year? And so I just changed my mindset a little bit, and it shows that, like, you're still in it. Keep yourself in the game. Start on the first couple of rows with a few laps to go. You got a shot. You just never know what can happen. And, you know, I just don't know when the last one that I've won like this, where, you know, I won on a late restart that I wasn't already leading. It feels like it's been a while, and I don't know when it was, but it makes it feel really good winning one that I definitely shouldn't have.
All right, Trenton, go ahead.
Trent Warsham from FrenchFish.com. Congrats on the win, Denny. Something I'm curious about is, you know, you just said that, you know, you weren't leading when on the restart that happened at the end. When did you know, like, I guess during the race when the chaos was unfolding, the guys were losing rotors, that you might have a chance to get back into it and win?
It was the restart with about 100-ish to go. It was when we took two. And there was about four or five cars that stayed out. And I was able to start, I don't know, probably between sixth and eighth. No, it was maybe a little further back than that. And I passed four or five cars on that restart. It was just a couple laps. But it cycled me ahead of the guys that I was on the same strategy with. So that at that point, okay, we're 100 to go. We're now in control of the race. We have to stop one more time, just like everyone else. We're on the same tires as everyone. That was the point where it's like, oh, we got a shot to win this. Now, I realized pretty quickly when the 20 and the 19 ran me down past me like I was sitting still that we did not have a car capable of winning. But at that point, I'm just trying to stay in it. And I kind of resigned to the fact that we weren't going to win with about 15 to go, and I just slowed down. At that point, I knew that we were not going to pit again, or I didn't think we were going to pit again. And so I just tried to save all the tire that I could because I had a gap to behind me. I knew I wasn't catching the leader, so I just slowed down and didn't wear out the tires for about 15 laps in case of a shootout situation. And that, you know, I don't know if that was a deciding factor or not, but it certainly didn't hurt.
All right, Denny. We appreciate you joining us. Yeah. Congratulations again on that win. And be sure to enjoy this one.
Do I get the chair?
You get the chair. That's a question for the track. Does he get the chair?
There's a chair at your collar already.
Oh.
Okay, sweet. There you go. You do get a chair.